you that you love that we've gathered together today for you to gather to worship you, to gather to grow in your word. I thank you, Father, that we just release the Holy Spirit to do great things in us and through us. I thank you, Father, that you would open our eyes of our understanding, that we would just really just understand your word so we can be powerful and commissioned and go and do the great things you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I'm praise the Lord. Last week, we started a series called Let's Go Deeper. And by the way, if you want to catch a marlin, a big fish, you're not going to stand at the dock. Where do you go? 3 miles out, 5 miles out to go catch the big things. All right? So if you want to go deeper with God and have more adventures with God, can I challenge you? It's time to go deeper. So last week we talked about deeper, go deeper in his love, go deeper in, I wrote these down, following him, go deeper in serving. So go deeper. So today, I'm going to save it in a minute. So we're going to go deeper. Let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. And my topic is prayer. Let's go deeper with prayer. Now, I did not like prayer. That was the most awkward thing for me. And probably because I probably knew coming out of the Catholic Church, I knew about 4 prayers, okay? I'm not reciting them. 5. I knew 5, okay? But so it was really awkward, and I did not enjoy when people say, let's pray. I'm like, oh, Lord. And probably I was too much in my head instead of my heart, all right? And maybe you're here, and you're like, oh, this is awkward, okay? So this is what I decided. Jack will do the praying. He's really good. Jack, you can just handle the praying part. Okay, then I also thought, oh, Jack, you can raise up people, and they're the pray people, you know, the prayer people, okay? And our don't say that, Pastor D. Okay, so you can raise up the prayer people. I don't have to do that. But as I grew in this word of God, I found out it's not too complicated. And God is not grading me on how you pray and how I pray. In case you didn't figure this out, but I taught children's ministry for so long that my prayers are really childlike. Like occasionally I might have a big word in there. I'm real simple, okay? So if I can learn, and we're going to talk about prayer, to pray, y'all can. Everybody say, I can pray. Okay, no liars here, right? Okay, so we're going to talk about prayer. We're going to learn a little bit about prayer, and because we want to go deeper in adventures with God. Now, my Jack had like 5 bookshelves, just crazy bookshelves, and one of his many topics that he loved to read about men and women who had already gone home to be with Jesus. They were powerful men and women of God. They were powerful in their ministry, and he wanted to go, well, how come? So he'd read these, and I got a little contagious, and I started reading some of this stuff. But one of the guys that he first introduced me to, and I was like, what? His name is Charles Spurgeon. Anybody ever hear of Charles Spurgeon? All right. Charles Spurgeon was a pastor in the late 1800s in London. And he had this huge church called the Metropolitan Tabernacle, and it's still here today. That church would seat 5,000 people in the late 1800s, okay? That church seated 5,000 people, and then they had a standing room only for 1,000 people. All right, today, so that's 6,000 people. Today, we'd call that a super-duper mega church, right? You're with me. Come on, give me a little feedback here today. All right, so, and here's the interesting thing. People would come from all over the world to sit in one of those meetings and then go tour the building because it's really ornate, okay? And you can Google it and check it out. But listen, Charles, this is so funny, and I just laugh. I'm going, this is really interesting. So he would love to give the tours. Anybody want to give a tour? He would love to give the tour. Anybody want to go on tour? Come with me. So he'd take people around, and the first thing he says, first I want to take you to the boiler room. And they're like, why would I want to go to the boiler room where the heat comes out? Like, this is ridiculous. And he goes, no. So he says, let me take you to the basement. Of course, where are boilers or HVACs? Okay, they're in the basement. So they're like, okay. So he opens the door, and these people are expecting to see these massive boilers to heat the building, and the room is filled with hundreds of people praying. And he said, this is where the heat starts for the service you're going to go to. Yeah, he said that. All right, so this is where all the heat is for the service, for signs, wonders, demonstrations, and the miraculous starts here in prayer. Everybody say, let's go deep in prayer. Yeah, all righty. So, oh, by the way, I read this and I kind of said, I'm doing good. He was known for talking over 2 hours on a Sunday, and the youth didn't get up and exit. I was like, that's miraculous. That's all the prayers, right? Okay, so let me read you a quote he wrote. We cannot all be leaders because we all have different callings, all right? My calling, my purpose, cool. Okay, so we cannot all be leaders, but we can all be pleaders. That means people who plead in prayer before the Lord, okay? The second part, we cannot all be mighty in speech, but we can all be powerful in prayer. Woo, I love that. I love that. So every one of you, every believer, you can be powerful in prayer. Amen. We're with you, Pastor D. Good. Keep going. So there's this other guy. And this one, Jack and I talked about this one time. This other guy, he lived in the late 1800s, and he was more of an evangelist. And an evangelist, you know, they just love to share the good news and how people get saved. So here's this guy, and he would have over, in the late 1800s, over 100,000 people would come to hear him preach the word of God. Man, we got empty chairs here. Let's fill them up, okay? So he had over, so listen to what they said about him. The great evangelist, Gypsy Smith. I like that name, Gypsy. Okay, the great evangelist, Gypsy Smith, was once asked about the secret of revival. He replied, go home, take a piece of chalk, draw a circle around yourself, then pray. Oh, Lord, revive everything inside of this circle. Woo, I love that. All right, I think that's good advice. So I was reading this, and I thought, that's good advice. I'm going to do this. So if you ever come to my house, I have my chair. Anybody have your chair? My chair, you can sit there, but on the side, there's tons of books and Bibles and my highlighters and my box of Kleenexes, okay? So I was like, this is good advice. So I took that. I'm going to do this. So I said, you know, Lord, revive everything that's sitting in this chair. And then the chair began to shake and I fell on the ground. No, nothing like that. But I meant it. Lord, revive everything. How about for prayer? So listen to this. The book of Revelations, the last book in the Bible, the beginning, the first couple chapters, John the Apostle is writing these seven letters. Well, it's really Jesus downloading, seven letters to the seven churches. And one of the letters goes like this. Jesus said this, I stand at the door and knock, okay? If you open up the door, everybody say, if I open up the door. All right. If you open up the door, I will come in and sup with you. And guys, I'm telling you, as a believer, I believe in prayer that if we'd say, God, I am opening up the door to have deep prayer with you. God, come and move in my life and help me pray. Amen. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Real simple. By the way, we have these at the front. Go avail yourself. Write down notes, all right? It's kind of like my main idea. The same, you're just going to hear me say this 100 times today. Ready? When we pray, God works. He's powerful. When we pray, God works, all right? And we're going to go through some scriptures. Now, some of you again, oh my gosh, I just really prayer. Oh, Lord, I'm sitting here. I can't ditch out. Well, thank God Pastor D only goes till about 12 o'clock instead of 2 hours, right? So stick around. All right, it's not so bad. All right, but this is saying your Bible here says Old Testament and New Testament. Old Testament through the New Testament, okay? When we pray, God moves. It's over, it's constantly over and over in there. So if you pray, he says, I'll work. Now, prayer isn't this fruitless thing to see how great you are, okay? Prayer is a tool. A tool, a vehicle, a tool that releases God to move on the earth. Prayer is the tool that releases God to move in your life. And listen, God wants to move in your life. God wants to move in your family's life, in your parents' life, in your kids' life, in everybody's life. God wants to move, but prayer releases him to move, all right? So you and I can pray, and it will release God to move. Say, it releases God to move. Woo! All right, so open up to James. We're going to do a bunch of James today. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, I'm going to start at verse 16. James 5, verse 16. We're talking about deep prayer. Ready? The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, a believer, a man or a woman, okay, can accomplish much. When put into action, meaning when they're praying, and made effective of God. All right. So God's the one that's going to make it powerful, but you're the one that's going to pray. You're going to pray, and God makes it powerful. All right. So this is just simple prayer. Ready? The next verse, verse 17. I just love verse 17. Because, you know, sometimes I need an example. I'm like, that's cool. I read what you said. That's good. And James gives us a real example. So, James chapter 17. Listen to this. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Same physical and mental and spiritual limitations and shortcomings. So, Elijah was an Old Testament prophet. He stood in an office of a prophet. But right here it says, he's just like you. He's just like me, right? He doesn't know it all, and he's got oopses and downses, all right? Now, the next part. So, Elijah prayed intensely, fervently, seriously, okay? He prayed intensely for it not to rain. All right? And you can find that in 1 Kings, jot that down, chapter 17. Go read it. It's just the coolest story. So he prayed intensely for it not to rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then later on he prayed, and the skies gave rain, and the land produces crops. All right. So there's kind of a special time when this happened with Elijah. When this was going on, Elijah obviously was a prophet to the Jewish nation. Okay, he's a prophet to the Jewish nation, to the Jewish people, and they are backslidden. Everybody say backslidden. God's chosen people are backslidden, all right? They're backslidden, and they got this queen, Jezebel, and she is just perverting everything, telling everybody to start worshiping idols. God's chosen people are worshiping idols? Wah! And then her husband's going, go, babe, that's cool, go, babe. And Elijah comes on, he goes, no, stop it, stop that, and you need to return to God. So this is all that's going on here, and that's when Elijah prays. Now, his prayer wasn't a flippant, casual, like, God is good, God is great, let it rain. Okay? Or, oh yeah, we should pray. Okay? No, listen. It was a serious, determined, pointed prayer. Okay? Sincere. I like that word, sincere. So he prayed this, not the flippant one, okay? And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Whoa! And then he prayed again after the 3.5 years, and he prayed again, and it rained like crazy, okay? So this is what we go. Well, why, James, are you writing this in the New Testament? That's Old Testament. Why are you writing this story? Everybody say, why? You're all two-year-old kids. Why? Why? And the answer is so to motivate you. To motivate you to pray, that you can pray powerful prayers. He's trying to motivate that you can pray, they can be powerful, okay? And so we can say, God, I want you to reign spiritually in my life. I want you to reign spiritually in my backslidden friend's life, in my children's life, in your county. God, would you reign spiritually in your county, okay? So we can say that to God, right? So we're talking about spiritual rain, though if we're in a drought, you can pray for rain, right? And spiritual rain, listen, this is what happens. Spiritual rain is when the Holy Spirit comes and he starts convicting people of their sin, sinners. He convicts the sinners, that they need Jesus. That's what, so we're praying that spiritual rain to come across. Listen, we need it, right? Turn your news on one day and you'll go, wow, we need that. We need people to be born again, okay? And also, we're praying for the Holy Spirit, spiritual rain in my life, spiritual rain in my family's life, okay? Because then God can do what only God can do. I love that. Now, so I came up with four. You know, sometimes it's three things, seven things, and you all cringe when I say seven. But today I only have four. I want to talk about four things that deep prayer does, okay? Because I want to encourage you. Don't be like I was for years. Oh, Jack will do the praying. I'm not doing that. I don't know what to do, okay? So I want to encourage you with these four things to go into a deeper prayer, all right? And some of you are like here, some of you are here, some of you are here, but we can all go deeper. So if you're taking notes, jot this down. Ready? Deep prayer prays at all times. Deep prayer prays at all times. So I'm not talking about 24 hours a day, all right? You have responsibility. Anybody going to work tomorrow? Anybody got responsibilities? So I'm not going to be able to pray 24 hours a day. So what is this, Pastor D? Well, just jot this down. 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, pray without ceasing. Well, I can't do that, but what do they mean? So I'm going to show you two things that I've learned about pray at all times, all right? My first one, my early walk with Jesus, you know, I would say young and dumb, but my early walk with Jesus, and I finally have a Bible. Novel thing when you get born again, get yourself a Bible, and then you should read it, okay? So it took me almost a year to have that happen in my life. So I finally have a Bible, I'm reading it, all right? And then I'm minding my own business, and then somebody comes to my mind. Like I just all of a sudden think of this person, all right? It could be someone I'd seen, haven't seen for a long time. I'm just like, oh, I haven't seen them in a long time. Or it could be somebody, you know, that I see routinely, okay? And here's what I do, okay? This is a long time ago. Here's what I do. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, I wonder how they're doing. Huh. I wonder if they're okay. Okay. But how about deep prayer? And then, as I grew in God, it was like the light bulb goes off, and I would realize, oh my goodness, that's the Holy Spirit bringing somebody to my mind, and he wants me to do something. How many of you have, just out of the blue, you have somebody come to your mind? Okay, so we're going to grow, and that what he wants you to do is, oh, my goodness, I'm going to go pray for them, okay? And I want to pray for them. So I began to do that every time. It was like the light bulb went off. And every time I would think of somebody just come to my mind, I'd be like, wow, I'm just going to lift them up in prayer, you know? I'm going to pray that their health is good, their kids are good, and stuff like that. And then I also prayed in the Spirit. And we are going to talk about that at the end. But I would pray in the Spirit. We'll share more about that. But as I prayed in the Spirit then, all of a sudden, I was just, you know, like I see your face, and I haven't seen you in a while, and I see your face, and I'm like, I'm going to pray in the Spirit. And then I just know I need to contact them. I need to contact them. And so if we're going to see you that week, I go, hey, Jim, you know, I thought of you this week, and I prayed for you. Okay? And isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't you love someone to tell you they were praying for you instead of cussing on you, right? Okay. Not us. We're good. Okay. So I prayed for, you were on my heart, so I prayed for you. And then if you weren't somebody I was going to interact, I would pick up the phone and I'd call you and I'd say, hey, I was praying for you. And all of a sudden the phone gets really quiet. This happens like 9 out of 10 times. So I call you up and I haven't seen you in a while and I say, hey, I was praying for you. And you get really quiet. And all of a sudden I hear, are you okay? And they go, you don't know what's been going on in my life. I can't believe you prayed for me. Yeah. And then I go, listen, I am not that spiritual. I just had you. No, the Holy Spirit put you on my mind. And I finally got smart, right? And I would pray for them. Okay, and sometimes I was just praying in the Spirit. Other times I'd say, what's going on? And I said, well, let's pray. Okay. Some of you, God will use you that way. And really, I have to say all of you. I don't know why I say it. God will use that way. When you think of somebody, okay, I used to have this person come in, pop in the office all the time, and they go, hey, Pastor D, have you seen so-and-so? And I go, no, why? She, well, I was thinking about it. I'm like, well, then call them up. Then instead of interrogating me, okay? So if you think of somebody and say, Holy Spirit, is that you? Do you want me to pray? Do you want me to call? Do you want me to call and pray? Go ahead and do it, all right? So whenever you see a problem, pray. Lift it up to him. Whenever this thought comes to you about somebody, I don't know if there's a problem, but I'm going to pray and lift it up. And if the Holy Spirit says, pick up the phone, or better yet, the Lord one time says, go now to their house. And I've been known to do that, Michelle. We know about that. Okay. All righty. So if you get this in your mind, how about maybe it's this and you do something. So here's the second thing I learned about pray at all times. All right. Open up your Bibles to Philippians 4. Pray. All of us can pray at all times. Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6. All right. Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Well, what do you do? Now what do I do? Okay, because you know I am the queen of worry about everything and anxiety, and you know what? Okay, so here's the answer. Okay, don't worry about anything. Instead, everybody say instead. Woo! This is what we do instead of worrying about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need, and then thank Him for all He's done. Okay, a little side note. These promises is what He's done. So start thanking Him. Start thanking Him, all right? So then, verse 7, then you'll experience the peace which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and your mind, okay? And you will live in Christ. Now, so this is what He's telling us. Hey, instead of getting in all anxious, instead of worrying, I want you to pray. Say, God, this is going on. And look, God, I thank you that you're going to move on my behalf, okay? So we give it to God. Now, verse 7, go back there. Then you will experience God's peace, okay? In the Amplified, anybody, you should get an Amplified Bible, okay? I know it gets wordy, but it just gives you more words, okay? Amplified says this. Then the peace, okay, when you pray and you give it to God, two things you have to do. What? Pray, give it to God. And really, there's a third one we'll talk about in point number 3. But when you pray and you give it to God, then the peace of God, this supernatural peace which supersedes your understanding, your mind, like, oh my gosh, God, I just found out my kids, all 3 of them need braces. How are we going to do this? Or, oh my gosh, the roof's leaking and I've called somebody and they say we need a new roof. Or, oh my gosh, I just got the doctor's report, okay? So instead of, worrying, anxiety, can't sleep at night, can't eat, never a problem here, okay? But instead of doing all of that, okay, he says, pray, give it to God, okay? And then the peace that comes in here will tell your brain to chill. And then you'll just start thanking God. My God's got this. I'm good. God's got this. Okay? So that supersedes your mind. So when you give your worries to God, He'll give you something so precious. It's called peace. Now, so let me also say this. If you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, Romans 10:9-10, if you've accepted Him into your life as your Lord and Savior, you have now, the Bible says you've been born again. The Bible says that. Pastor D didn't. I don't like that term. Well, that's in the Bible. Okay, so the Bible says after you receive Jesus into your life, you're born again. You have a new nature. All the old stuff has been washed away. You are brand new. And He says you also have the fruits of the Spirit in you. And guess what one of the fruits of the Spirit is? Love, joy, peace. So when things hit you, and listen, I every day you have an opportunity to worry about something, or you're living in a cave, okay? So you have opportunities to worry about something, okay? But He's saying, I want you to remember that you've got this peace, and then the Holy Spirit's got peace, and you just say, I'm giving this to the Lord. I know what he says, so I have peace. And it's a supernatural peace where, so deep prayer, prays at all times, okay? Here's the second thing. I'm so excited about this one. Everyone, it's my favorite. Some of you are going to just keep smiling at me, okay? This one, you're just going to say, oh, yeah, I love that, Pastor D. Okay, get ready. Practice your smile. Deep prayer prays at set times. Everyone should have a set time. Keep smiling at me, all right? Deep prayer prays at set times, okay? Now, obviously, Pastor Sherry and I should have a lot of prayer going on, okay? Because we're under-shepherds of this flock, and then we've got this online community. Hello, everybody online, okay? So we should be praying a lot. We do, all right? But what if you, if you're not doing this, what if you once a week set a date and a time where you're going to just accumulate? I don't know about you, but by the end of the day, I can have a hit list of things to need to be prayed about. Anybody have a hit list? Okay, just make it through the day and you write down. So how about this? Novel idea. Once a week, get up 30 minutes early and go through that prayer list. Or once a week, you put the kids to bed, and instead of turning on the TV, okay, it's just once a week, start. I love, what's it, Dutch Sheets, give me 15 minutes, right? Start with 15 minutes, okay? How about a set time once a week where you're praying, because God works with prayer. Amen. All right, here's the other one. Here's a challenge. We did this years ago, and it just got big and took a lot of volunteers, but we devised a prayer partner. So you filled out the survey, okay, and we would pick somebody because you wanted someone to be picked to be your prayer partner. You get to be her prayer partner. You get to be her prayer partner, and he gets to be that, okay. And so I just want to encourage you, you should always have a prayer partner. All right. Now I'm going to tell you a story. This past week, on Wednesday, I was asked to help officiate a celebration of life service for a lady who used to come here. Her name is Leola, okay? And Leola, 93, went home to be with Jesus. Just her presence, I learned so much with her. But she had a prayer partner for over a decade of just the opposite person you could ever believe, just pick, okay? And they prayed every day for 10 years or more. I don't know. Pam and I are like, I don't remember. And I don't remember how it started. But Leola's this regal black woman, and Miriam is this inner city t-shirt lady. And they became prayer partners. They were both widows, and they became prayer partners for 10 years. Now they're in heaven going, woohoo, okay? And listen, families are functional and dysfunctional, so you know what? They prayed a lot. Okay, and then they prayed. They lived in York County, and Miriam and Leola had lived in the city for many years, so they were praying, okay, so I just love them. So I want to encourage you, find a prayer partner, and I'm not doing a program where you fill out a sheet and I pick and line you up, okay, but just get a prayer partner. And the other one is, how about you join a prayer group? Men's prayer, stand up over there, okay, Mr. Mark and Brian Coker. The first Saturday of every month downstairs, men's prayer. I'm not invited. Okay? Okay. And they have some food, and they pray, and they have some fellowship. Or, now this one is just convenient for Pastor Sherry and I, but you're always open. Every Thursday at noontime, we have prayer. Come downstairs. We have prayer. Okay, and I've got some faithfuls, and then I've got people that pop in. There's on the 24th of every month. You can pray for York County, all right? So those are all those great things going on. So I just want to encourage you, pray at all times, all right? Pray set times. Number three, here we go. Deep prayer will do this. Deep prayer is praying God's word. It's like, duh. Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that for years, but deep prayer means you are praying God's word, and it is so powerful. It's like the tsunami that just breaks loose, okay? Now, I am going to go over a controversial scripture. Everybody keep smiling at me. Controversial scripture, okay? Because I believe it's been taught wrong, or it's been anyway, I'm going to do it. But it's a powerful scripture, and you have to know when to use this. Now, how many of you believe if Jesus said something, oh, that's good, we should do that, right? So Jesus wrote this. Open up to Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Ready? Mark 11, 24. Okay, Jesus said this. Jesus said this, Mark 11, 24. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe you have received it and it will be yours. All right, so I have had a lot of prayer not work. I've had a lot of prayer failures. And maybe you have, okay? So I want to talk about prayer failures, all right? Now, did you notice it says, here it says, when you pray, you have to believe you received it, and it'll be yours. So if you're taking notes, write this down. I got this in the middle of the night. I was like, write this down. This is good. Ready? It's impossible to believe and receive something from God unless you can find where God promised it. And this is the kicker, for you. You ought to write that one down. Yeah, that one, just like a lollipop. Just suck on that one here. It's impossible for you to believe you receive something from God unless you find where the promise is for you. Now, this Mark 11, 24, okay, it's not God's a genie in the lamp and you rub the lamp and you say, God, move over here, God, move over there. It's just not that, okay? But number one, you have to find a promise. Oh, I know all these promises. Then you have to pray the promise, declare the promise, speak the promise, all right? And that's how you receive. So you're going to pray, deep prayer, you find the promise, you pray the promise, and you receive the promise. There's some exceptions. Don't you love the exceptions, okay? I love the exceptions. James chapter 5, verse 14. Is anyone sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church, and they, the elders, will pray the prayer of faith, okay? And then Jesus will get involved and things like that. So, if that's you, after church, we always have altar ministry. Come on up. We will pray the prayer of faith, okay? Now, just smile at me because you have to go the long game with me. But primarily, Mark 11, 24 is you praying the promises of God. Everybody, where do you find the promises? The Word of God. Okay, you praying them for you. Okay? So I want to share and help you out with prayer failures because I've had a few and maybe you've had a few. But prayer failures, sometimes my prayer failures, I'll just make it all about me, is because I really should have been having intercessory prayer for what was going on, okay? And I don't want to get into that. But this one here, this prayer, Mark 11, 23, is you praying God's promises for you. And then we have the exception about anybody sick, right? Listen to James. I'm going to try to trip you up. Here we go. James chapter 1, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without fault. So you don't have to be perfect, okay? And he'll still answer you for asking for that wisdom, right? Keep reading. So if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given to you. All righty, here we go. Let me give you the backstory. So we touched on it. If you missed it last week, James is writing to the church of Jerusalem. He's the half-brother of Jesus. He's now the pastor over Jerusalem, okay? And these were Jews who had their eyes open that Jesus is the Son of God. Today we call them Messiah. They'd be called Messianic Jews. Back then, he says, you're Christians, okay? So these are Jews that became Christians, okay? And because of that, they were deeply persecuted. Remember what we said last week? Persecuted. You just terrible things, okay? And then the second part of that is all of that's going on, and they start backsliding, all right? And James comes along. I know, I just had to do that, okay? James comes along, and he's like, you guys can't do this, all right? Now, here we go. God says, if you need wisdom, everybody say ask. So what is wisdom? God, I don't know what to do. Anybody have kids? It was like every day, God, I have this strong-willed child. I don't know what to do. God, should I have him sit him in the quiet seat? God, and oh my God. Okay? So, and I remember a lot of, God, I need wisdom. Okay? So let me ask you this. We just read James chapter 1, verse 5. Not trick question. Did God promise you wisdom? Some of you don't know. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without fault finding, and he will give you wisdom. Did God keep his promise? Did God have a promise? He promised he'd give it to you. All right. Promised he'd give it to you. Praise God. All right. I don't know where to go on this one here. Okay. So, we said you can't believe you received anything from God until you find the promise. I need wisdom. I just found the promise. It's in James chapter 1, verse 5, okay? So, Father God, I need wisdom, and I thank you for wisdom. Real simple. All right, how about this one? Philippians 4, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his resources. Okay, so if you have a financial need, did God just promise to fill that need? You better write down Philippians 4 then. My God shall supply all your needs according to his resources, his riches. That's a promise. Did he just promise to do it? Okay. Wisdom. I need wisdom. Did he just promise to give you wisdom? He's a promise keeper. Praise the Lord. All right. Okay, we live in Google. I love Google. Okay. Google's in my upstairs and downstairs. And all you have to say is, Google, give me all the scriptures about whatever. Promises for my children. Give me the scriptures about whatever's going on, okay? And Google will give it to you. Back then, I had concordances that they're just up on the top shelf. I just talk to Google all the time. So if you don't know the promises, Google. Or do you have Alexa? I gotta have Google. Praise the Lord. Just talk to the man, talk to the lady, okay? So you have to find out the word of God. Then you pray the word of God. Then you receive the word of God. Real simple. Praise God. That's deep prayer. Now, Jesus had the same sermon, just a little bit different. Turn over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. This is Jesus talking. Same thing, just a little bit different. John chapter 15, verse 7. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, like you find all the promises, right? Ask, ask. Ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you, all right? So you have to find the promises. Then you ask whatever you wish, whatever you desire, okay? But it has to be found in the Bible, all right? Okay? Let me tell you a story. Okay. So we're out of Bible school. Liz and I went to Bible school together. Jim and I went to Bible school together. Christine, she went to the same Bible school, but I don't know Christine. So there are these girls I knew that they wanted a husband at a Bible school. They used to call it Rhema Bible Bridal Center, right? Rhema Bible yeah. So I was married, so I didn't. And I'd get around these girls, and they're like, believe in God for these. So this cute guy would walk by, and they're like, we're believing God for that one. Okay? And nothing would happen. Okay? And they're doing Mark 11:24, and I'm like, you better know the word of God. Okay, here's another one. Andrew Womack told this, and I thought, way off the chart. This woman wanted to get married, and she saw this guy over there, and he's married. So she starts praying, God, I'm believing God for this man, and his wife would just drop dead. Andrew Womack tells this story, and I'm like, whoa, people, we're doing good here today. So God's not going to answer that prayer because it's not the word of God. So you have to know the word of God, the promise of God. Google, what's the promises for a spouse? Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, don't take it out of context. If it's a promise, you can believe God to receive. Amen. I hope I get you so hungry. Here we go. Now, in my opinion, this is the most controversial scripture. Open up to 1 John chapter 5. The most, and it's probably been mistaught. And I was a sucker for it. So if you're like, that's me, so was I for a long time. I didn't get it. 1 John chapter 5. Here we go. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. I write these, this is the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos. I write these things through Jesus. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Nothing controversial about that, right? You get eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That's not controversial. But go to verse 14. This is the confidence, that's a good word. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. If we ask anything according to his will, where are you going to find his will? Google. No, the Bible. Yeah, Google will help you. Okay, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. And if you know he hears you, whatever you ask has to be according to his word, right? We know that we have what we ask. Okay, so I think this has been taught really incorrectly. So if you want wisdom, we are going to ask God for wisdom, right? Okay, so God, man, these kids are humdingers. Okay, I need wisdom. God, I thank you for wisdom because you said so. If it be your will, if it's not your will. And we slap "if it be your will" on the back of prayers. And I'm like, I am so sorry to tell you, but that is incorrect. Okay, if you know the will of God and you pray the will of God, you can believe you receive and you don't have to go, is it your will? Right? And people do that. None of you. I just did that when I was a young Christian, right? Okay? So it's sort of like, you know, this prayer thing is random. Like, God, you know, I don't know how you're feeling today. God, today maybe you'll give me your promise that you promised, and maybe tomorrow you won't. No. Okay? If God promised it, like, God, I want wisdom. God, you promised wisdom. God, you promised you'd give me wisdom. You give me wisdom if I'm just got some faults going in my life. God, just give it all to me. That is a promise, and we just say that, and we don't end the sentence. If it be, I will. If it's not your will, don't give it to me, okay? So, Pastor D, smile. So there is a place where it says, if that be thy will, but it has nothing to do with this. And I really think what God is saying, Bubba, go find out my word, find out my promise, and then end the sentence with a period. That's it. Okay? So if you're praying next to me, I might have to say something. Be thy will. Okay, praise the Lord. All right. Verse 14 again, I'm going to read that again. And this is the confidence we have when approaching God. If we ask anything according to his will, his promises, he hears us. Praise God. All right, so we're going to ask according to his will. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask according to the word of God, not for somebody else's spouse to drop dead, right? We know that we have what we ask for, okay? So you have to, before you pray, ahead of time, you have to find out the word of God instead of these silly prayers, okay? So before you pray, Google, okay, or Bible, okay? Before you pray, you have to find out the promise. Amen. Okay? Ahead of time. Everybody say ahead of time. So, God, I need wisdom. I know where that's found. Thank you for wisdom. So deep prayer prays God's word. All righty. Now, I want to talk about prayer failures again. Because I'm probably the only person that's had some prayer failures, okay? Okay, think about this. If God moves when we pray, because that's our main idea, when we pray, God moves. If God moves when we pray, and then looks like God didn't work, who would love you to quit praying forever? The enemy. And you, Pastor D, I have a prayer life. Okay, but that prayer failure that you were standing on but you just avoid that subject. Who would love you never to dig into that? The enemy. So we've all had prayer failures, and I've dodged a subject for about a year. And then I was like, dang, devil, I'm not listening to you. I'm going full force, okay? So the devil would love to have you be discouraged and quit praying for a topic, a subject, or you just quit. I'm giving up. I'm not praying. This prayer thing doesn't work, all right? So how about we have this attitude? I'm not quitting. I am standing here today because that's my attitude. I am not quitting. You're going to drag me out, okay? I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting in prayer. And so I pray, and it looks like a prayer failure, and I'm like, God, I don't know what happened. I don't know if it's me. But I'm telling you what, I am not going to be discouraged. I am not going to quit. I am going to dig deeper in prayer. I'm going to dig deeper into this promise because prayer allows God to move like only he can do. So everybody say, I'm not a quitter. All right. Now, I'm going to give you an example. It's not really about prayer, but the principle is good. Everybody ever hear of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Go down to children's ministry. We just do this big up down there. Okay, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were three Hebrew children that were abducted, that's the word we use, out of their homes, out of their nation, and taken to Babylon, all right? So they're taken over there, and then there's this guy Daniel, the same thing happened to him. But where we're going to read right now, Daniel's not mentioned, and most theologians will tell you that the king, who we're going to talk about a little bit, Nebuchadnezzar, had him on a state mission. Okay, so he's out of town, and the bad guys are like, oh, good, Daniel's not here. We're going to go get these other three guys. That's kind of the backstory. All righty, so open up to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. I love this. I need a drink. Here we go. Daniel 3:16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, okay, let me back up here. So they're captured, and the bad guys are just lying about them, and then they come up with this idea, oh, let's make this big old statue of gold of King Nebuchadnezzar, and this will be the law, the decree. As soon as you see the statue go by, you have to bow down and worship it. And like good Hebrew boys are like, oh, no, king, we are not bowing down and worshiping that thing. This is the only true God. So they get thrown before the king, and they say that, and then the king says, okay, light up the furnace seven times hotter. Okay, Daniel 3, 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God who we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your powers, your majesty. Okay, do they sound a little confident there? Like, rah! They do. They're confident. They're confident in their God. Okay? Yeah. All right. My God's going to rescue me. Even if you do chuck us in there, my God's, that's confidence. Okay? But listen to what it says next. Verse 18. But even if, everybody say that. But even if, but even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty. By the way, they are very honoring. Just so I throw that in. Not you, jerk. Face, okay? But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Okay, I love that. But even if he doesn't, okay? That's the attitude. I'm going to keep swinging. Even if he doesn't answer my prayers, I am not going to be discouraged about that. Even if he doesn't answer, I'm not going to quit. Even if he doesn't, I am going to be keep praying. Amen. Isn't that a good story? Same principle? Praise the Lord. So our attitude should be deep prayer, praying God's word, and never quitting. Okay, here's my last one. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Here we go. Deep prayer prays. A deep prayer can pray God prayers. Pastor D, what are God prayers? I'm so glad you asked. Okay. God prayers is God praying through you. God prayers is God praying through you. Okay. God's prayers are God's praying through you. So, I am born again and I am charismatic. I am filled with the Holy Spirit and I am not weird. Not like you think. Okay? I am not weird. There's not a weird bone. You can put me any place and I will not be weird. And I am spirit-filled. Okay? Everybody say, she's not weird. No. Okay. But I'm still spirit-filled, okay? Now, I want to tell you my story. Some of you know my story. So I received the Lord Jesus Christ my senior year in college, right over here at your college. And finally get a Bible, start reading my Bible. But someone invited me. But I am raised Catholic. So you know what I did Saturday night? Cover my tracks. Saturday night, I'd go to Mass. They have early Mass, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. So Saturday night, I'd go to Mass. And Sunday morning, I went to the Charismatic Church, okay, on Duke Street. I loved it, okay? So I'm going there, and I'm learning stuff like, what? Just amazing. And then later on, you know, a couple months later, somebody invites me to a charismatic meeting. It was probably Full Gospel Businessman thing, okay? And the speaker, and I don't remember, but the speaker's talking, and I'm not in the Catholic Mass, so I'm in a charismatic meeting. It's not even a church meeting. It's like filled with, yeah. And the guy goes, hey, does anybody want to be Spirit-filled? Because if you asked me if I wanted chocolate, if you asked me, I was just raising my hand for everything, okay? So my two Spirit-filled charismatic friends proceed, because he said I should have listened. Listen to the whole sentence, slow to speak, quick to listen. If you want to be Spirit-filled, come up front. Only thing, I didn't see that part, hear that part. So my two friends pull me up front, and there's a bunch of people here, and there's people, and this group starts praying for me to be Spirit-filled, okay? And I just raised my hand, so I wasn't quite sure. And then they get louder, and I'm getting embarrassed. Okay, I can get embarrassed, okay? So I get embarrassed, and then, like, nothing happened. And then they all quit on me, and I go home. I feel like, what's the matter with me? Okay, but did anybody know what, when we say read your Bible, Russian roulette? I went one of these. And I just happened to open up I don't recommend this, but I did it. Because I was just a newbie. So I opened up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you should read this, write that down. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the gifts of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues. So I was like, oh, look at that. That's sort of like what that guy talked about that I didn't pay attention. Okay. And then go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Everybody, what is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 all about? Good, you read your Bibles. Okay, and then don't stop. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and it goes in more talking about the gifts of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues. So I'm reading it. I couldn't put it down. I finally just skipped chapter 12, chapter 14, chapter 14, okay, all right? And this is what happened. I had this desire, like, because finally I had some knowledge here, the Word, and I had this desire. I want to be Spirit-filled. I want tongues. God, I want that. And then I said, I thank you. Just thank you. Because when you ask, you believe you received, say thank you. Okay? I knew two sentences here, okay? So the next day, I get a phone call from Jack. Jack and I are not married. He's up at Penn State going to school, and he's panic on the phone. D, pray for me. I was like, what'd you do? No. And he says, I have this big, I think it was a calculus test. Man, I had prayed for more people for calculus and statistic. They are humdingers. I've gotten those phones. So he's panicked. He goes, D, I have to pass this class or else. So we talk, and I love you, honey, goodbye. And so I go into my room, and I'm at this apartment, and I'm praying. So I am a newly saved Catholic. So you know, Our Father, Hail Mary, the Apostles' Creed, and God bless us, the Lord, and these I give, about to receive, the bounty of Christ our Lord, amen. That's all I know, okay? So I tried all of those. Okay, I did. And then I'm like, God, you got to help Jack. God, you got to help Jack. God, I'm just praying for Jack. And I run out of English. Okay, I run out of English. And next thing I know, this bubbles up these words into my head that I didn't know. It's like the cork went pop. And I prayed these like couple of words, like five words. And I'm like, oh, that's the tongues. Okay, it bubbled up out of my spirit because I finally turned this off. And I was like, I love this man. Got to get your degree and my mama's going to be mad at you, okay? And I'm praying. That is the truth. And so I'm praying and then because I had asked and that's what God did. Now, that's my story. I don't know about you, but I just want to, some of you may have grown up realizing or being taught that's not for today. The gifts of the Spirit are not for today. Speaking in tongues are not for today. And I just want to tell you, go over four scriptures, all in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So open up your Bibles there, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I just want to say, hey, this is in the Bible. And you do what I do. Just go study it out. And you might have to read it a couple of times and grab some stuff. And we have some books in the back. Go read this, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Hallelujah. Pursue love. Desire spiritual gifts, especially, this is the Apostle Paul, especially that you may prophesy. That part is talking about what happens in a church service. That one sentence, you know, that you prophesy, that's concerning a church service, but hang in with me, okay? Then he, okay, that's how you act in a church service, all right? Then, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, desire especially that you prophesy, that's for a church service. And verse 2, for he who speaks in a tongue or in another tongue or, you know, spirit-filled, he speaks mysteries, does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him, however, in the spirit, so he's praying in tongues, he speaks mysteries. All right, so we have two things going on. There's this one speaking in tongues, prophesying, that's for a service, but here he's talking about you talking to him. It's actually like, this is the best word I can use, it's devotional. It's not about you, it's me and him. So I am praying in the spirit to my Father God. It's just me and him, I'm praying. Okay, that's what he's talking about there. Okay, then jump down to verse 14. If I pray in a tongue, or other tongues, my spirit prays. If I'm praying that, a tongue in the spirit, my spirit prays. The Amplified, you got to write this down, says it the best. It says, is my spirit by the Holy Spirit prays. My spirit by the Holy Spirit prays. And man, it's powerful. That's the best way I can describe it. My spirit by the Holy Spirit prays together with me, and it's powerful, okay? So let me get, so just bad analogy, but I ran out of thoughts, okay? So here's my spirit. It doesn't know, my spirit, man, it doesn't know everything, okay? It's okay, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know anything that's going to go on in your life. Now the Holy Spirit, he knows everything. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows everything that's going to go on in your life. So how about I take my spirit and join with the Holy Spirit, and wow, you have some powerful prayers. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. For if I pray in another tongue, my spirit prays with the Holy Spirit, but my understanding is unfruitful. So what's the conclusion? I will pray in the Spirit. Okay, and I'll pray with my understanding, all right? I will sing in the Spirit, I'll sing in my understanding, all righty? So, one more verse, here we go, verse 18. And this is Paul. I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. He was a tongue talker, you guys. Yeah, okay, I don't know if I believe in that. He's a tongue talker, and he must, you know, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. So, just saying. Tongue talkers, okay? So he's a tongue talker, ready? And then he goes, yet in the church service, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others than 10,000 words in the spirit, in the tongue. Aren't you glad I've been talking in English? Right. So there's a time for it, and then there's a time for it. So I've been talking in English, but this is talking about a prayer language. It's a prayer language, okay? And he's saying, if you speak in tongues, okay, more than everybody. He said, Paul, I speak in tongues more than everybody, and that can be a sign, but my personal devotional is I'm going to speak in tongues, pray in the Spirit, and powerful, all right? Now, I'm going to wrap up in 3 minutes, and I'm not apologizing. Here we go. That first meeting I went to, I don't think they explained it too well with me. And it got weird and scary. It did. It was scary. People yelling over me. And they were sincere. Okay, but we are not weird and scary, all right? And after church here, we will have altar ministers up. They will have materials for you. They would love to sit down and not show you weird and scary and just talk to you if you'd like that, all righty? And we have mini books, woo, on prayer. We have big books in prayer. We have mini books, and we have this one in the bookstore. I'll give it away if you don't know anything about this, okay? You can get that in the bookstore. There's my bookstore people. I'm giving books away. Praise the Lord. Okay? But I want to recommend two books that, these are newer books that I read. One is by John Bevere, and he wrote the book called Getting to Know the Holy Spirit. And it's got questions and answers, like all the questions you want to ask, he's got them. So John Bevere, The Holy Spirit. And then this one was probably the most powerful one I read. It's by Robert Morris, The God I Didn't Know. Now, Robert Morris, he's a preacher down south, pastor down south, and he went to seminary where they taught. This stuff's not around anymore. The gifts of the Spirit, they're not here for today anymore. This speaking in tongues, this is not for today. So he's pastoring, and one day, he believes this is not for today. And one day, I won't give you the whole details, he receives the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and he starts speaking in tongues. Okay, so his book is so good because he knows all the arguments because he used to argue with everybody. And then the flip side. So if write this down. It's called The God I Never Knew by Robert Morris. And you can go on YouTube. Love YouTube. And say YouTube, The God I Never Knew by Robert Morris. And you can listen to it for free. Write this down. Okay, all right. Or you can go to altar ministry myself, so. Aren't you excited when we pray God works? How about you bow your heads, close your eyes? Woo, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I believe that God has been speaking to hearts that we can go deeper. I can go deeper with you. Lord, that I'd go deeper in praying your word. Like, what is your word for this, okay? And Lord, that maybe the Lord's been talking to you. It's time for a set time. It's time for a set time. Because God moves and does big things when we pray. God's calling you to a set time. All right. Okay. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You hear their hearts. Just ask him, Lord, what do I do with this deep prayer thing Pastor D's just been ranting about? Just ask him, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? Do I set aside time? Show me your word. I want to know more word, and so I can be more powerful in my prayer. And maybe some of you, God's asking, you know, this, you're asking God, God, I want to know that you pray through me. I want to know about this filled with the Holy Spirit. So praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is between you and God. We love you. We love you whether you're not Spirit-filled or Spirit-filled. No condemnation. We're just tickled that you're growing in God. So we love you so much. Praise God. Thank you. And maybe you're here and you heard me say, when you receive Jesus, you receive eternal life. And maybe you're like, woo, I would like to receive that eternal life. Well, it's not hard, and I'd like to pray for you. If that's you and you'd say, Pastor D, I'd like to receive eternal life, okay? God said Jesus came to the earth. He died. God raised him from the dead, and he's seated in heaven. And he's alive, and he died for you and I for our sins. Because we came. We've been sinners, right? And he says, whoever would receive him, Jesus, ask Jesus into their life, he would receive a free gift of eternal life. So if you're here and that's you and you'd say, Pastor D, I want that. I want that gift. I want to have eternal life, okay? So would you bow your heads? Well, your heads are bowed, but just pray this after me. And if this is your first time, you know, I'm not going to make you stand up or come up front. You can if you want to, but just pray this prayer from your heart. Just pray this prayer from your heart. Lord God, I realize I was born sin-stained, and I need a Savior. I repent of my sins, and this day, Super Bowl Sunday, I accept Jesus as my Savior. Jesus, I believe. And I call you Lord of my life, and I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, You know, I know some people, they just start bawling. I'm like, okay. And there's others like, I don't feel anything, Pastor D. If you prayed that prayer, I believe you've received, okay? And the Bible says all of heaven is ballistic. They're like celebrating. Hallelujah. A child, yeah, someone received Jesus. Heaven's their home. So we love you. If you prayed that prayer, and or if you've never received a Bible, come on up front. My altar ministers are here to talk to you about being filled with the Holy Spirit, or we'll pray with you the prayer of faith over the sick, or we'll just give you a Bible. So we love you. Stand up. Have fun tonight.